Like the weak batter in a baseball lineup, it comes round and round and always disappoints. In this case, it's the Armed Services Financial Accounting. Because they're unable to achieve the accuracy required for clean opinions from auditors, they are still on the high-risk list maintained by the Government Accountability Office. Here with more, Asif Khan, Director of Financial Management and Assurance Issues at the GAO. Mr. Khan, good to have you back.
Good morning, Tom. Glad to be back.
Every year, it seems. Now, we're talking about 2015, the latest year for which auditable information, I guess, is assembled, and the outside auditors still can't render an opinion good, bad, or indifferent because of the information they've got?
That's correct, Tom. Let me just update you. The results for 2016 were also released several months ago. However, the results are very similar to what they were in 2015. And yes, to answer your question, the way the progress is measured currently is through the audit results, which are provided by the independent public accounting firms. And the audit results for both FY15 and FY16 was that the public accounting firms were not able to render an opinion on the military services budgetary schedule.
So they could be spending every cent properly and excellently, but you just can't tell.
You could say that. It's the degree of precision with which you can assure that the information which is presented in DoD's budgetary schedule is presented fairly. And that's what the opinion is. Lack of an opinion means that the auditors could not give that assurance.
And what is it about DoD, we're talking the armed services, Army, Navy, Air Force, and by extension under the Navy, the Marine Corps. What is it what's the weakness here that seems to be intractable?
Yeah, the best way to perhaps describe the weakness is to illustrate what the audit firms had come up with in their giving the disclaimer of opinion on these statements. They had four primary reasons. The first one was that they could not really gain assurance from management that all the information that should have been presented in the budgetary schedule was actually presented. So it's the completeness factor here, that there could be transactions which originate in virtually thousands of different feeder systems. They may not have made their way into the statements. The second one is that the auditors could not get support documentation for the transactions, which were actually recorded in the statements. So without support for transactions, the auditor cannot make a determination whether or not they were accurate and reliable. And then thirdly, there were lack of adequate systems control. As you know, DoD, large organizations like the military services, they rely on automated systems for day-to-day management. The auditors found there was several control weaknesses in the automated systems, so they could not rely on the information which was being produced by those systems and eventually being recorded in the financial statements. And finally, this is more of a management issue. The military services did not have procedures for adequate oversight over their service providers, such as the Defense Finance and Accounting Service.
When you use the term budgetary schedules, is that the equivalent of the income statement or the balance sheet for a corporation or some hybrid?
It really is more of a cash basis. This is the, if you will, the revenue or the budget that has been allocated to the services from Congress. That's what's reported in the budgetary schedule. So it's going to link back directly to the president's budget. The schedule also has information on the amounts that have been spent that year. And as you perhaps appreciate, the budgetary process is pretty complicated. So the other portions of this schedule also include the amounts which are remaining from a given pot of money which has been allocated by Congress. And then finally, it has the disbursements made during that year against the amount of money that was appropriated.
So the disbursements, is that where they get run afoul? Because they must know what came in from the Treasury to start with.
Correct. That's one significant area because DoD or the components or the military departments have not been able to reconcile their fund balance with Treasury, what's in their books, if you will, what's in their checkbook to the balance in the bank, in this case, it will be the Treasury. So that's one of the key areas. The other one is in the steps before that, they have not been able to account accurately as to the money, how that has been spent. Before the money is actually dispersed to the ultimate party, there are various steps in the budgetary cycle which have to be accounted properly. I mean, these are obligations and other such terms which are used, and they have to be accurately accounted for to make sure that they're not overspending.
We're speaking with Asif Khan, Director of Financial Management and Assurance Issues at the Government Accountability Office. So ultimately, it's a management issue expressing itself as systems, weaknesses, and other things. And so you make recommendations. What were the main ones this year? Were they any different from the past, I guess, 10, 12 years you've been looking at this? And what does management say that's different from those past decade or more?
Yes, correct, Tom. Our focus on this one, the objective of the study was to was to say what the opinion was, what the auditor's opinion was for the FY15 audit. We gave a little bit more illustrative information that may typically be included in the auditor's opinion. Then further, we focused in on as to what the processes were at each of these military services to address the finding and recommendations. And then finally, what were the processes for monitoring and tracking corrective actions at the DoD level? I mean, there are various guidance out there for the federal agencies to develop their corrective action plans. And what we found that each of the services had some deficiencies in their process for addressing the finding and recommendations, which are related to financial management issues. Similarly, we found gaps at the DoD level to be able to track, monitor, and report the finding and recommendations and the remediation activity on a department-wide basis. All in all, we made 8 recommendations. 5 of them were addressed to the military services. 3 were addressed to the Department of Defense. The military services concurred with the recommendations. The comptroller's office concurred with 1 recommendation and partially concurred with the final 2 recommendations.
Well, do you think the final answer here is some kind of system of payments and accounting that are the same for each of the military services, maybe one that doesn't have to be singular for the entire department, but at least identical and copied from area to area across DOD? Would that get them closer to where they need to be?
That certainly is maybe an option, but that is probably going to be a longer-term solution. If you look at the DoD environment, they have over 2,000 separate systems spread across DoD. These are called feeder systems. So they have to be rationalized. They have to be understood what the business process is. These feeder systems eventually input the information or provide the information into the general ledger systems or ERPs, which ultimately produce the financial statements or the information which is used by decision makers to make financial decisions. So what you have said is an important point. However, when you look at the details within the Department of Defense, the sheer scale of it makes it difficult to come up with one solution which is going to fit all different enterprises. The first step is for them to really understand what the business processes are and to make sure whether they still make sense at this point in time, because some of these business processes or practices have developed over the past several decades and may not really be applicable or could be done much better if they understood what the ultimate goal is of that business process. It could go through some sort of a re-engineering process, and then you could develop a system to be able to support that business process.
Do these reports ever feel sort of like Groundhog Day to you?
Well, some of the information we contain in there that DoD has been on the high-risk list, GAO's high-risk list for the past 2 decades, yes, I mean, that is repetitive. However, it's worth repeating because these are important points, given that DoD has about 50% of the U.S. government's discretionary budget. And they also have reported over 70% of the federal government's fixed assets. So it is an important point. However, this report goes a step further, like our other reports do, is to provide more granular information, more actionable information to the military services and to DoD, how to track and monitor the corrective action. The reason this is important because absent an opinion, it's going to be very difficult for DoD management or for the other stakeholders, such as the DoD IG, the Government Accountability Office, or Congress, to be able to track how DoD is progressing towards their ultimate goal of getting an unqualified opinion on their financial management and address their financial management high-risk weaknesses. And we feel if they follow our recommendation, it's going to provide more interim information to be able to tell what the progress is, absent an opinion.
Asif Khan is Director of Financial Management and Assurance Issues at the GAO. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Tom.
We'll have a link to all those recommendations and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.